Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, I hope you have somehow managed to remain in a Christmas spirit. And I know the new year brings some optimism and some hope. It's just kind of like that fresh, blank slate. But we're still going to face some really hard days ahead as this pandemic continues to spread and rage in our communities. So let's do our part to cling on to some of that Christmas energy that we were so ready for on last month and in this season. Last year, a year ago, around this time, I was on a plane to Israel and Palestine for a class trip with fellow seminarians. And Christmas was done and finished here in the States. But when we got there, we got to Bethlehem, we were greeted with a huge life-size nativity scene right in our hotel lobby. Because there in the Holy Lands, Christmas was still underway. So many of our Orthodox Christian brothers and sisters, well, Christmas hasn't even come yet for them. Some of them celebrate Christmas right around on Epiphany, which is the day when the wise ones, the Magi, came to pay honor to Jesus. And some of them don't even celebrate Christmas until a week after that. So when we got there to Bethlehem, there were garlands and lights and Christmas trees everywhere, even right across from the entrance to the church of the Nativity, where they believe is the site where Jesus may have been born. And so it was hard not to stay in the Christmas mood and imagine what it would have been like to be with those wise ones, those Magi, on that long trip, following the guiding star to where Jesus lay. As we begin this new year, as I thought about that image of the star in the sky, I was hoping that we could keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on the light of Christ in the days and months to come. To do so not just by recognizing it, that gift of Jesus, his presence with us, but also the gift of his teachings and the gift of his faith tradition, of the Jewish tradition, which gives us prayers and wisdom, words to offer up to God when our own words fail us. How can we look to the spirituality and the prayers of Scripture to be our guide in the uncertain days ahead? How do we pray in this new year when, though we might feel a little hope and optimism knowing a vaccine is on the way, how do we pray and maintain that spirit even when we see so many neighbors suffering around us? How do we pray when we see small businesses struggling to pay the bills and keep going? How do we pray when we hear rumors of a new variant of COVID-19 that spreads even more easily? How do we pray when we are struggling with our faith, with doubt, in the face of the suffering, injustice, and loss in our world? Can we look to the words and prayers of Jesus and the Jewish tradition of the New Testament and Old Testament for guidance in these uncertain times? So today, this morning, we begin a series of five prayers. A sermon series around five prayers that can give us words when our own words fail us, beginning with what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, what we call the Lord's Prayer may be one of the most famous prayers from all of the Bible for Christians. And it's fun to note that it's not actually called the Lord's Prayer in Scripture. We've given that name. Our traditions, our churches have given it that name. But rather, what Jesus is doing in this large section of teaching about how we should live in relationship with God and with others, he is teaching his disciples to pray. And he says, now when you go to pray, pray like this. Jesus doesn't mean that this is the only way to pray or that all prayers should sound and be like this. But I know for some of you who get tired of us pastors who pray long prayers, you wouldn't mind it being a little more like that. But this prayer is a guide for us, a template, if you will, for how we might shape our thoughts and our questions and our longings to God. It is a polar star for how we might cry out to God when we face the uncertainty and the unknown of our lives. But the prayer does a lot more than just teach us something simple like how to pray. The prayer also shows us a glimpse of the very heart of God. To begin with, the Lord's Prayer makes it clear that our priorities should be God's priorities. That our priorities should be God's dream for each of us. This is not simply because God is God and God is like a tyrant and whatever God wants should be what we want, right? Rather, God's dream for us is good. Really, really good. Creation that is cared for, families of all shapes and sizes walking and blessing, a world free of injustice and terror, nations who live in peace. Jesus begins his prayer by ascribing holiness to God. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then says this powerful phrase, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer challenges his disciples and challenges us to never wait around for heaven, but work for heaven right here and right now in our midst. To work so that all of creation and all of our families and our communities know peace and abundance and blessing. Second, the Lord's Prayer is full of confidence that we serve a God, that we follow a God who wants to answer our prayers. Sometimes we get the idea in this life of faith that we should only pray for ethereal kinds of things, you know, really big pie in the sky kinds of stuff, like world peace or balance and harmony for all. But Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in such a way that even our most basic needs are of concern to God. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. God seeks to sate our hungers. God seeks to fill our pantries. God seeks to invite us to share generously with one another so that no one goes hungry. The prayer continues, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The Lord's Prayer, it seems to Jesus, expects transformation. That we will be engaged in seeking forgiveness for the ways that we have harmed others and for those who have harmed us. This prayer anticipates people who will need second chances. People who are not perfect and need grace. That's me, and maybe that's you. Jesus gives his disciples permission to not be perfect, to understand they're going to screw up sometimes. And so part of our prayer is always asking for that precious gift of grace to be received anew, and then to share that precious gift with others in this world. Of course, I love that our church uses a more ecumenical version of the Lord's Prayer with the word sins there, but some of you grew up saying debts or trespasses, and if you want to say debts or trespasses when you pray the prayer, go for it. Each word adds additional resonance and power to this amazing prayer. Finally, this prayer recognizes that there is evil in this world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This prayer is honest and transparent that we will face hard times, that we will face injustice, that we will encounter people who are intent on harming us and hurting us and keeping cycles of injustice like racism going and festering in our society and in our world. Jesus empowers his disciples to ask God for help to face those injustices and that evil. We can't do it alone. We need help. We need big help. God seems to be prepared to help us as we ask and as we pray and as we seek God. In other words, this Lord's Prayer is a powerful, simple way for us to draw close to the heart of God and know that God cares for us so deeply, to invite us to pray transparently and honestly for all that we desire. Jesus recognizes that his disciples will face many tough times. They're pandemics of their own. And through this Lord's Prayer, his disciples are invited to know a God who cares for their most basic needs and will be with them even as they face evil and injustice. So what would 2021 look like if we prayed this prayer more as we began in these weeks of 2021? What would 2021 look like if we could make our communities, our families, our church look a little more like heaven on earth, shaped by God's dream for each of us? Just before Christmas, I watched a news report about a group of families in Langley Park who put together a press conference and are organizing because their conditions in their apartment complexes are horrid. Their apartments have bugs and rodent problems, many in a serious state of disrepair. And so many of these families are immigrants. Some may not even have documentation. And so they fear eviction if they complain about these conditions in which they live. So many families are not experiencing heaven on earth in 2021. So many families are grieving about the state of the world, about the loss of loved ones, feeling the burdens of injustice that weigh them down and diminish their life. As we pray the Lord's Prayer in this new year, are we thinking of families like these and figuring out how we can support them and walk with them in their cries for care, for wholeness, and for peace? All of these values that Jesus gives to us through the Lord's Prayer reflect the heart of God for us and our world. A God who comes to be with us, who desires to feed us, to guide us through the snares and traps of our lives, and to lead us into something better. So I invite us to begin this new year by dwelling on this prayer, to let it be one of the lights that guide us closer into the presence of our God. In just a few moments, we'll be praying this Lord's Prayer together in many languages. And I challenge you each day of this week to begin your day by sharing in this prayer and maybe even spending some moments with God, listening for the insights that come out of what Jesus has taught us and what Jesus reveals about the God we serve. Ultimately, let's stay in the Christmas spirit. Let's see in Jesus, who has come to be in our midst, Emmanuel, God with us, an invitation, not for just for us to bring our gifts to honor the Christ child, but to receive gifts from Jesus too. Gifts to guide us and give us words when our hearts break and this world seems to be such a mess. And then after we have said our prayers, let's get back to work and live in such a way so that heaven on earth begins here in you and me and in this, and at this amazing intersection. Thanks be to God. Glory and power forever and ever. Amen.